Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. So much information. Where do you begin? Well, Steve and Justin continue to work to put together a library of info sheets to make the process simpler. Webinars and more information, too, that's easy to read and straight to the point. It's plain talk. And you can have instant access to it all right now. Just sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. It's free. There's never any charge. Just go to InvestTalk.com and scroll down the page until you see Sign Up for Free to become an InvestTalk Insider. Now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the final 2016 Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me. This is all about the above average investing for the average investor. And, you know, we always look for opportunities, trying to find those opportunities and talk about managing ways to reduce or control risk. And I really do enjoy doing it. I've been doing it for many, many years now, and I still do it. I still like it. Now, in the days to come, we're going to be looking back this year, looking for lessons to be learned that we should have learned in 2016. So next week, we're going to be doing that. And as we said in our recent webinar, 2017 will be a year of change. There will be a bunch of challenges, brand new president, not only just a brand new president, but an unusual brand new president, not our usual choices of presidents. So it's really kind of a roll of the dice of what he's going to do. We don't really know. So it's going to be an interesting 2017. The Fed is changing its direction, starting to increase rates. Around the world, all the central bankers seem to be nodding to the fact that their negative rates haven't worked. So they're changing their perspective. They haven't changed yet going to get tightened, but they've decided not to loosen anymore. So it's going to be interesting in 2017. It really is. Of course, our newsletter went out today, and the first section is all about looking at the economic numbers, looking at the economy, and it was a shortened week, so that kind of affects things. It's going to be a shortened week next week, too. The big news out this week was the Case-Shiller housing reports, which said the housing prices went up in October. Now, this is a report that the most recent number is for October. Year over year, prices were up 5%+, but it's so old, October, before the election. And interest rates and mortgage rates went up pretty significantly since the election. So, how that's going to, the housing report is such a lagging indicator, it's hard to know what it means for the housing going forward. So, there was a massive amount of money waiting on sidelines, everybody. I said in a weekly newsletter that, it's pretty likely we'll have some kind of decline, some kind of correction. But there's so much money on the sidelines right now. Money from overseas waiting to get into our market, bond sellers, cautious investors that all missed the big run-up. That money will act as a cushion for the market going forward. Don't expect the market to collapse. I can't see that happening. I can see corrections. We might see more corrections in 2017 than we said in 2016. But every time we attempt a correction, money's going to come back in from all that money that missed the run-up. They're going to say, okay, I'm not going to miss it this time. So I have a feeling that's going to cause more volatility up and down, more corrections, more recoveries from corrections in 2017. And we'll see how right I am about that. You can hold my feet to the fire as the year goes by, okay? So, of course, there's just a couple stock ideas in the newsletter, a portfolio management section in the newsletter. I talked about options this time and how you can use them, maybe even to generate income. And that's going to be one of our talking points, too, options. In the Consumer Watch, I discussed resolutions and why you're bothering making them if you're not going to keep them. So I gave you some ideas on how you can reduce the number of resolutions but actually keep them during the year. I'm giving you ways that you can do that. So here we are in the final day of the year, pretty eventful year. What money matters on your mind? Do you have a money resolution you'd like to share? One of the suggestions is to share it with a friend. That's one of my suggestions. If you say, I want to save more money in 2017, tell people. Tell somebody close to you, and then tell them to please ask you about it to see if you're online and you're doing what you said you were going to do. And have them berate you if you don't. Why? Because you will tend to want not to hear that from them, and you might actually save the money. That's why. Do you have a question? I want to hear it. Any money question is fine. 888-99-CHART, or sorry, anytime number.
Hi, I got a question. I wanted to know, what do you think is the difference, like, in investing in a preferred shares of Freeport MacMarin compared to the common stock?
Massive amount of difference. Massive. A preferred share of a stock, it acts like a bond. It pays a dividend like a bond. It pays a certain yield for a certain period of time, whereas a common stock just goes up and down with the price of the price of the stock, and preferred does not go up and down with the price of stock. It does, but it's more bond related than anything else. It's a very massive difference there. Don't think that they are even closely the same. They're not. Preferred stock is like a bond. They're also higher. I won't go into other details, but that's what the difference is. Don't think that you're buying, I'm buying a stock that gives me a good dividend yield and it's preferred. No, you're not. You're not doing that. An inexpensive way to hedge market risk is going to be one of our main talking points today. So that's what we're going to discuss. Best and worst assets in 2017. Do you know what the best and worst assets worldwide in 2017 that you can invest in? I'm not talking about something obscure. And this is kind of interesting. The Dow had its best year in the past 3 years. Do you know what the return on the Dow was? How about the other indexes? Do you know what the returns are for the year? See, I'm doing that year-end stuff. Last day. And finally, something not year-end related. Retiring to Ecuador or some other Pacific Beach South American country. But Ecuador in particular, I've been reading a bunch of articles, and Ecuador looks really attractive. So we're going to talk about retiring to Ecuador. Maybe you should go for a vacation first. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Those are all my main talking points. The Dow was down 57 points today. The NASDAQ down 49, which is pretty heavy down day for a NASDAQ. And S&P down 10. And it was a pretty broad-based fall. Most of the sectors were down. Now, it was also very light trading, which to be expected, the last Friday of the year before the new year and before the new year holiday. So it expected to be a pretty light trading day. And it was a light trading week, which is normal between Christmas and New Year's. It's always light. So what happens is if it goes up or down, the market gets a little bit exaggerated one way or another. But, it wasn't that bad of a week. If you take a look at, the stock market itself, it wasn't a bad week. Was it all down? No. The first day or two was up, and the second day or the last 3 days is pretty much down. And it was a down week, but not very bad, not very much. What worries me, if you look at a chart, it looks like the beginning of a rollover, kind of rolling over. We haven't seen that since the election, no kind of rollover at all. And that might be the sign. And I'm surprised, see, I think there's a huge run-up from November, right, the beginning of November, all the way up, for 7 weeks or so. And I'm thinking people are going to take profits. But they don't really want to take profits this week. They want to wait till next week or the week after because they want to postpone capital gains taxes. But they didn't want to take them this week. So I'm thinking Is that going to be a catalyst for some downward pressure in January? And remember, I don't think it's going to last. I don't know if you should react to it. Not sure you should. Of course, no one knows when that would start and when it would end. And that's the problem. You can't time the market. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. There are more than a handful of information sources on InvestTalk.com. More than a handful. Wall Street in solid 2016 on a dour note. That was a headline in our news feed section. And that was at 104 this afternoon. Late-breaking financial news is ready when you are. InvestTalk with two T's, InvestTalk.com.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Jimmy in Cannon Falls, Minnesota. Calling today about Yum Brands, ticker symbol YUM. Saw they had a big drop past quarter for separation from their China operations and wonder if this is a good time to get in to purchase. Thank you. I'll listen on the show.
Well, let's look at Yum. Yum is Kentucky Fried Chicken. It is it has 42,000 fast food restaurants, by the way. Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and Kentucky Fried Chicken in 130 countries. And he was referring to the split off of their Kentucky Fried Chicken operations in China. And the reason being, and it's huge in China. Kentucky Fried Chicken is very popular in China. And for various probably political reasons, in addition to other reasons, it was why they split it off. And Yum Brands, it's a $63.33 stock. It's going to make $2.43 this year, then $2.75 after making $3.18 last year. Well, that's probably because of the split off, not because of lack of sales or anything, even though sales aren't growing that fast. The question is, it has a very good return on equity. The question is that a good price? And that's what you're asking. And I'm going to say, no, it's not. It's not out. The S&P 500 P ratio is 19, and Yum Brands is 18, and their five-year average is 13 to 23. I'm not saying it's overpriced. I think it's a little pricey. And I think you wait for a pullback if you wanted to buy this stock. It's not yet. I would be at the beginning of the year, this thing was at $47, $48. Now it's $63. So where would be a good pullback? In the mid-50s, 56, 57, maybe. But, man, I think it's a bit expensive right now. Good, solid company, but a bit expensive. 888-99-CHART. Here's an investing term you should know. Penny stock. We hardly ever talk about them these days. Penny stocks. A penny stock typically trades outside of the major market exchanges at a relatively low price, meaning pennies or sometimes a dollar or two. Don't think they're always in pennies. And has a very small market capitalization, meaning it's a very small company. Very few shares outstanding. These stocks are generally considered highly speculative. High risk, super high risk on this. They have a lack of liquidity because there's hardly anybody trying to buy them. They can be manipulated so easy. People can manipulate them, and they do. They trade over the counter most of the time. We call them the pink sheets, over the counter pink sheets, meaning they're not traded on exchange. Now, if you want to see the definition, you go to investopedia.com. It's right there. 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. We talk about home equity loans or reverse mortgages. So let's talk about that. That's fine. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week listener line. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Bruce. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. Yeah, I'm wondering about a short on Goldman Sachs, and would you ever even, I mean, it's so powerful and strong.
Yeah.
Would you even consider it shorting it at these levels?
Well, actually, I might. I think I would. Goldman Sachs Group, everybody, not because the stock is bad, because it's not. It's going to do very well, and I think it will continue to do well. But I also think it's gotten way ahead of itself. We're talking about they're going to make $15.71 this year, and it's a $239 stock. But it's the technicals that we're looking at as far as a short. At least, Bruce, I'm looking at the technicals as far as, you know, the company itself is pretty solid. You don't want to short it because you think it's going to get weak because it's just not making money or something like that. That's not the reason. It's because of the huge run-up. I mean, Goldman Sachs has represented 1,000 points on the Dow in this two-month run-up. 1,000 points was just because of Goldman Sachs on the Dow. And it's so steep and so sharp. I can see it's at $239. Very easily, I can see it falling down to $211. Very easily. And that's only given up about 30-40% of this run, not even half. So, and I've noticed that the volume has dropped off when it's turned sideways the last week or two. So that tells me that, okay, the interest is starting to fade a little bit. So you can short it. Now, Bruce, you really need to have a tight stop if the short doesn't work, right?
Right. When I was thinking, where would you be considering a short and then getting in? Would you get out on a new high?
I would get out. If it broke above 245, I'd be out because that's a new high. It's at 239 right now. So you can see how tight I'd be. I'd be pretty darn tight because that would be a new high.
Right.
And if it went down to about 215, 210 to 215, I'd cover my short.
Right.
I would not wait a long time for that.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Bruce.
Appreciate it.
For everybody else, shorting means he wants the stock to go down. You can sell the stock short and make profits if it goes down. And the reason why I'm telling him it's possible on technicals is because this stock has skyrocketed since Trump won. Now, it's just not realistic that it should skyrocket. It should give some of that back. And that's what he's playing. He's trying to play that short. He's trading the stock. Trading. He's not investing in it. He's trading to the short side, downside. Best and worst assets in 2017. Number one was the Brazil stock market, the Bolsa, up 69% 2017. Number two, crude oil, up 52%. And number three, the Russian stock market index, up 51%. Those are the three best asset classes that you could take advantage of this year. Worst three, cocoa, you know, the cocoa, the bean, the commodity, down 33% this year. The Shanghai index, down 18%, and the British pound, down 17%. Those are the three worst. So those are three best and three worst. Now, if you remember right earlier, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. I said that, you know, on the Dow, you look at if you invested over the last 6 years and the absolute worst performing stock in the Dow for the year, every year, for the following year, for instance, the worst performing Dow stock in 2016, and invested money in that at the beginning of the year 2017, that would be one of the best performing. Okay, and it kind of tails into the strategy called Dogs of the Dow. And it did 6 years in a row. So then you look at the worst performing stock in the Dow this 2017, and January 1st or 2nd, 2018, you buy that one. And you get rid of the one you had in 2017. The same thought process could be here. Brazil stocks up 69%. I wouldn't invest those in 2017. Crude oil up 52%. I don't think it's going to go up much higher. And the Russian index, I wouldn't trust that index at all. Those are three best. Would I buy the British pound? Maybe. The Shanghai index? Maybe that's possible. Yeah, so, you know, you got to try to think strategically as to, you know, is it like we just talked about Goldman Sachs? Way too much, way too short, because that's not how markets react. They generally revert to the mean, both on the upside and the downside. And you can take advantage of that if you know, you got to be paying attention to what assets you're talking about, what assets had the best and worst and that kind of thing. You can. Just don't bet the farm on it. We're heading to part two of our Friday Invest Talk show. Plenty of time to get your questions in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. You can talk to me live between 4 and 5 Pacific time and Monday through Friday. Again, it's 888-992-4278.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. A note about a new program for 401k participants. It's called My 401k. Steve and Justin believe this new system can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor, how to make informed choices within the limits of their employer's plan. When you're ready to learn more about it, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. Our next Invest Talk will come your way Monday, January 2nd, and we'll be talking about the five things you likely have wrong about investing. There can be a mismatch in the complexity of financial decisions we have to make and our own financial knowledge. That's one of the topics next time. For right now, your talking point comes first. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. Happy holidays. I love hearing your guys' show. I listen to you on podcast. I had a question about a stock and adding it to my portfolio as an industrial. The ticker symbol is ABB. A as in apple, B as in boy, B as in boy. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, ABB Limited. It is a Switzerland company. It's traded on our exchange. Swiss manufacturer of power management and power plant automation equipment for industrial and utility markets. It's a $45 billion company, so it's a pretty mega cap company. And the only reason you would buy this is because it pays a 3.5% dividend. There's absolutely no other reason to buy this company. Matter of fact, it's expensive. Sales have been falling every quarter for the last 8 quarters. So, sales are falling. Earnings are going to be 97 cents this year after being 99 cents last year, after being $1.12 the year before per share. Then it's going to bounce back up to $1.12 next year. Okay, that's great. But it's a $21 stock. That means the PE is 20 with no growth. Why? You don't buy stuff that makes no, it's not growing its sales. So why is a stock trading at above average market PE? It's not growing at all. It's shrinking its sales. Now, does it have an attractiveness? Well, it does for that 3.5% dividend. It's probably pretty steady because of what they do. But mutual funds are selling. There used to be only 82 mutual funds a year ago. Now there's 77 mutual funds for a $45 billion stock. No mutual fund participation at all. Why not? For this stock to go up, you have to have mutual fund participation. So there's no reason to buy this stock. I wouldn't buy this stock. I can get a lot better PE ratio with no growth. I get a lot better dividend yield with no growth from some other stock. So, no, I wouldn't buy ABB. It would not be on my list. Jessica, San Diego. How you doing, Jessica?
Hi, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I do have a question about the 401k.
Sure.
That I have a company match. Mm-hmm. And I have 100%. They are in the Vanguard Target Trust 2030.
Okay, target dated. The targeted fund for 2030, okay?
Right. So I'm not sure if I got the right mutual fund.
How old are you? How old are you, Jessica?
52.
Okay. So 2030, they try to target your retirement date. And 52 years old, that's probably about right, that's when you retire. The problem with target dated funds is how their concept is they'll get more conservative as you get closer and closer to retirement. I mean, that's the concept. How do they get conservative? Well, they buy more and more bond funds. And a target dated fund, like the Vanguard or any others, they are a mutual fund that holds other mutual funds. They're a fund of funds. And they will now buy more bond funds as you get closer and closer to your date of 2030. So right now, I'm not sure how much bonds or how much of it is bonds funds now, but it's probably, I'm going to guess, 20%, 25%, maybe 30%. And I don't know that. And therefore, it's getting more and more conservative at a time when interest rates over the next few years, 5-10 years, are probably going to go up and the bond funds are not going to work. So you're going to have a portion of your fund is probably not going to work very well. Even though I like Vanguard as fund family because they're very low cost. I do. But it depends on how much risk you want to take, Jessica. Are you comfortable with the market? Are you worried about the market over the next 5 or 10 years? If you don't want to be in the market, then, you know, you could just move to a short-term bond fund. I don't know what they offer you. If you want me to take a look at the funds, Jessica, you can email me a copy of all your fund choices to me on my website, investtalk.com. Just click on Contact Steve. That's an email that comes directly to my desk. Or I'll give it to you. It's S. Peasley, P-E-A-S-L-E-Y, speasley@investtalk.com. And send me an email, and I'll look at the funds for you and tell you. But you have to tell me how much risk you want to take. Do you want to be in the market or half in the market? Or, you know, I don't know. Then I can.
Okay?
So
I have to email all the lists of these investment options
Yes.
that they have?
Yeah. Yes. Because okay. I know you're in the 2030 fund, so that's easy. But I don't know what options you have to pick from. If you send them to me, I'll recommend some. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Jessica. I appreciate it.
Right.
Have a good new year, which will be next week. I do that for anybody who wants me to take a look at their mutual funds and their 401k choices. I do that all the time. So if you want me to do that, can do that. We also have a option for you called My 401k that asks certain risk questions. You heard me ask her, I need to know how much risk you want to take. Well, we do have what's called My 401k that asks you those questions, gives you a score, and then automatically tells you what you should be invested in using your 401k choices. There's a small fee for it, but does it automatically. And then it rebalances every quarter. Anyways, 888-99-CHART. So this was the best year of the Dow performance in the last 3 years. What's really fascinating to me is I'm going to give you the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000, their performances for the year, this year, 2016. But really what's fascinating to me is that all this has come in the last 2 months. From January 1st to like the election day. If you look at almost every one of the indexes, it was almost exactly the same as it was at the beginning of the year, from January 1st, 2016 to November 3rd or 4th. Now, it had a huge correction in January last year. Remember, it was 10% in January, the worst January in history. And then it came back, but it didn't do anything until November. Now, the Dow was the best performer of our indexes here in the United States and our exchanges. And the performance for the Dow was 13.4%. The S&P was 9.5%. The NASDAQ, 7.5%. So this was the best performance of the Dow for 3 years, but it wasn't the best performing index. That was the Russell 2000 at 19.5%. But remember, all this return, you had to wait 10 months to even have it start, right? 10 months before even to start to give you a return. So isn't that interesting? I thought that, well, I find it interesting. I find all this interesting. That's my problem. I have too much. I do have an email question, a general question that we need to get to before the end of the show, just to let you know, and we will get to it. It is, a question about definitions of terms. Another benefit for joining our InvestTalk Insiders team, or Insiders group, is that you have the key to a whole library of information sheets. We call them info sheets, like the one on economic indicators. When studying the economy, we look at economic reports. We look at leading economic indicators, not lagging economic indicators. So what's the difference? There's a major difference. Now, you can have access to all the whole library of these reports just by going to becoming an InvestTalk Insider by going to InvestTalk.com. There's no investment required. It's all free. Go to InvestTalk.com. Check it out. If you have any questions on your 401k choices or any money matters, give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. It's called Balanced Income. It's designed to produce steady yield for those who can't stand too much risk. Using their time-tested ability to identify undervalued assets, KPP Financial created a strategy designed to accommodate investors who have a lower risk tolerance but still desire some exposure to the potential growth of the stock market. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Chris from Mississippi. I'm an avid podcast listener. I want to wish you guys a great new year coming up. I got a question for you. I got both AT&T and Verizon when they're at a good deal, and I'm kind of up 14% on Verizon and 32% on AT&T. I was just wondering, I basically bought those because they're at a good price, and I bought them to hold for dividends. You know, just it was a buy and hold kind of thing. So should I just keep holding it, or should I sell it and wait till it drops and buy it back? That was AT&T and Verizon, and you know, I'm up 14% on Verizon and 32% on AT&T. Just wondering, what is the philosophy on that? Thanks. Have a great new year. Bye.
Well, you bought them for the dividend. That was a good move because they don't have neither of them have great growth prospects at all, and they moved up in price. So this is what you do: you take a look at it and see if they've gotten too heavy in your portfolio, and maybe rebalance by selling back. But not, I would not sell them all. I would not just sell them. You got them at too good of a price. And I would consider not selling them at all if it's in a taxable account. But if you're telling them, you don't want it to be more than, we buy 3% of any one stock in a portfolio. And if it goes to 5 to 6%, especially a big blue chip stock that moved up in price that probably wasn't justified, we'd probably cut it back. You know, but we wouldn't necessarily sell it if it's a core holding. And so it depends on what your philosophy is. Are you a trader or are you an investor? Sounded like you're more of an investor and going to buy them for the dividend. So I would tend to say you don't sell them completely. You might want to cut them back, but not get out. Can they go up higher? Of course they could, but they probably don't have any justifications to go up higher. Both Verizon is, you know, and AT&T are selling below market PE range right now, but pretty much near the top of their own 5-year PE range. So that's what you're looking at. Everybody loves those dividends. That's why everybody's been buying it. Let's go to David in Cupertino. How you doing, David?
Very good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to the new year.
Yeah, we all are, huh?
Yeah.
I got a question on a stock symbol, BDCZ, Bob, Dave, Charles, Zebra. It's a UBS AG London ETRAX fund. And I looked at it online, and it looks like it's going, it's got some forward momentum. And I was just wondering what your take is on that.
BDCZ. Boy,
correct.
Dog, Charlie, Zebra.
Right.
Okay, so that's an E-Trax Wells Fargo Business Development Index, Cold Index.
Right.
Okay, so it's an ETF linked performing to the Wells Fargo Business Development Company Index. Okay, that's what it is. So it develops company.
Okay.
It is like a venture capitalist ETF.
Oh.
That's what it
okay.
is.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of information on because it hadn't been around that long, and it's pretty erratic. One of the concerns I would have if I were you is that the volume is so very low. They're only traded 300 shares on average a day. 300 a day.
That is low.
I would not go into that because of that. Because the spread of the bid and ask, is huge, and you'll never get a good price. So I would stay away from it, Dave.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for your help. I always listen to the show and enjoy what you folks have to say. And have a good New Year's.
Thank you, Dave, and you too. And I appreciate the kind words. I really do. And I do like doing the show. I know people probably don't believe what I do. I had an email question today. And so it said, "Hello, Steve. I have a question for the show. Will you explain financial ratios as a percent of what? Debt equity, current, quick ratio, what are they? What is interest coverage, leverage ratio, book value?" Okay, well, book value. I'm going to only give you a few of these. Book value is probably easiest because he even said book value. For instance, book value to share ratio is 11.78. A part of what? Book value is, think of it this way. You have a value of the entire company, and you have the value of the assets of the entire company. Now, the value of the assets is a dollar, and the value of the entire company, by taking the stock price, multiplying the number of stocks, is $2. That means it's 2 times book. You said 11.78. Well, that's 11.78 times book value. That's what that's referring to. How much over book value is too expensive for a company? Because remember, how you're getting the value of the company is multiplying the share price times the number of shares, the price of the stock. Okay, I'm going to get into debt equity ratio and quick ratio, and I'll do that after the break. But these are ratios that are very, very important to understand, and you can go to Investopedia to get the definitions. You're listening to Invest Talk. We're glad you're with us today. The invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. So how do you protect yourself from the downside of the market? Now, first of all, Bloomberg reported Monday that their relative strength index indicator is hit the highest level in 20 years. RSI, highest level in 20 years. That is a sell signal, by the way. Problem with it is that the last time it was high, 20 years ago, the market didn't top out until 2 more years later. It kept running up. So, yeah, it might mark the top of a sell signal, but it doesn't mean it happened right away. So, how do you protect yourself? Well, you can use options. You can use put options. In other words, you're hedging. If you learn how to use them, you can hedge your whole portfolio for a pretty low amount. But you have to accept, you got to accept some downsize correction because it gets too expensive. If you like try to hedge the market at this price, if it falls 1% below at the current price and you try to hedge that with options, it's going to be very expensive. But if you can hedge a certain amount of risk, let's say 10%, 20% down, then hedge that off, meaning that you can protect your portfolio after a 20% fall, for instance. Now, the option can be, in other words, you put your holdings to somebody after that, then you have no exposure to the market after that. But there's always a problem on the other side. If you put all your positions to somebody, you then got to buy them back at some point. But where? When? So one of the problems you have with doing options, put options, is that when you put your holdings to somebody at a certain price, when do you get back in and how? I think that's what a lot of people are finding themselves in now. They went to cash and they just don't know what do they do now? They're in cash. And then they didn't get back in for the run-up in the market. So they missed it. Now back to the question, the debt equity ratio. He asked about ratios. You can find all the ratios at Investopedia. Okay, Investopedia. But a debt equity ratio, okay, what is that? You need to understand the formula, what it is for the debt equity. Is the debt minus the equity. So how much total debt does the company have? Does it owe? Minus its, okay, so it all that does is say, okay, is this company healthy? In other words, a relationship between how much debt and how much the company is worth. Okay, so do you have more debt than it's worth? What's a good number? And you know what? I would love to tell you that, the number is 2. It's not. Depends on the company. Depends on what they do. Depends on what industry they're in. You can't do that. And a quick ratio. The quick ratio is current assets minus inventories divided by current liabilities. Okay, what's current assets? What's cash and equivalents plus marketable securities, bonds type of things, plus account receivables? That is assets divided by current liabilities. Now, what does a quick ratio show? It measures the dollar amount of liquid assets available for each dollar of liability. It's a quick ratio, quick look at it. A quick ratio of 1.5 means that a company has $1.50 of liquid assets for every dollar in liabilities, current liabilities. The higher the quick ratio, the better the company's liquidity position. See, you just have to learn what all these things mean. They have a meaning. They do. 888-99-CHART. I have one more talking point before the end of the hour. I don't know how much time I have left, but I don't think I have a lot. Retiring to Ecuador or some other Pacific beach in South America. Okay, why Ecuador? There's an article I was reading and thought it was, that sounds like, there's a lot of expats, expatriates that are there. Climate is moderate year-round, 70 to 90 degrees, 70 to 90, uses the dollar. They have a constitution that gives you rights of foreigners to own property. They have, it's cheap, $175,000 to $200,000 for a 3- and 4-bedroom house. Living expenses cheap, $1,500 for 2. Health care is very good and cheap, $80 a month for 2. Property tax is cheap, $300 on a $200,000 piece of property. Okay, looks pretty good to me. You won't be finding me there. The time is up for the hour. Reminder, I will be in San Jose on the 11th of January for individual retirement account reviews. I do have a couple openings for that date left. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, want to thank you for listening today. And we're going to see you next year. I hope you have a great new year. Let's do it again then.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.